Orlando. Taylor running outside. He's got room 25. Turns inside 20. On his feet 15. Here he goes to the 5. Touchdown. Fred Taylor. 25 yards and the Jaguars are on the board. Mark takes the snap, drops to throw, pocket collapses, sets up the screen. Taylor's got it with room. Taylor's at the 15, Taylor's at the 10. Taylor goes to the 5, touchdown, Fred Taylor. 16 yards on the screen pass, and the Jaguars take their first lead of the night, 13-10. Here's a handoff to Fred, running to the left, looking for room. He is into the end zone, touchdown, Jacksonville. That's 3 touchdowns tonight for Taylor, and the Jaguars lead 26-10. They're piling it on the Steelers here at Three River Stadium. Mark under center, gives the ball to Fred, running to the left, cutting it back. He's at the 25, he's at the 20. Fred coming outside at the 15. Fred to the 10, 5, touchdown. Fred Taylor, his 4th touchdown of the night.
Wow, he's wearing out that corner of the end zone, that's for sure.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
All right, here we go on this Monday, training camp in full swing. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you. It is Jaguars Today, brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. What's up, boys? Ryan, how are you?
Good. Would have been a hot late morning, early afternoon out there today.
You think so, huh? Pretty steamy.
The glass is fogged up when I left the apartment, so that's always a sign that's a usual sign, but still hot.
It's kind of nice on Saturday. Kind of breezy out there a little bit on Saturday. A little hotter yesterday. I guess it's getting exponentially warmer as we approach
August. supposed to be better Wednesday.
Is it?
This is supposed to be the hottest today, and then we'll...
You guys will have to report to us from the sideline. Tony and I will be under the tent. Once again,
well, see, I almost thought it was hotter in there than it was.
Do you think so? Do you see the little fan they brought us out there, by the way? I thought it was kind of nice on Friday. It wasn't too bad out there on Friday. Tonight, Bartram Trail.
Yeah. I think it should be cool. One thing that coaches do a lot of the time during camp is they try to change up the routine. So this may be one of those things, but they obviously want to try and reach out a little bit. And the fact they'll have pads on will give the fans something to watch, 2,500 fans, whatever. So it should be a nice little deal. I know some guys are looking forward to a second night in pads after, getting the rust out yesterday. So it should be a cool event.
Yeah, and hopefully for the players a little bit cooler as mm-hmm. well. They get a little longer today to recuperate from the weekend's practices. Of course, Friday night was the big mega event with the Fulham. Saturday night, sorry. I'm just, my days are all screwed up in my head. 3-0, Tony, is what I'm going with. It's not World Cup time. I'm not saying nil.
No, that's fine.
Anymore. But,
I'll interrupt one soccer comment. I was in the press box. And I was just there to sort of make sure everybody else showed up where, and they had there's a couple of media people I didn't recognize who, felt their soccer aficionados, and they go, is this going to be Fulham's regular kit this year? Is that the, it's uniform. You're in the United States of America.
Seriously. I like the term kit. I prefer kit to uniform, but look, you don't have to be all high and mighty about it.
Continue, Mike.
No, I actually totally agree with you. I think it's a ridiculous term, and so be it. We don't have to really worry about it too much for the next 4 years.
That's right.
The Armada may
If you're
going to
spread the game, soccer fans, join me. If you're going to spread the game, then you don't try to convince people that it's kit or
jersey.
Nil.
How about jersey?
Or pitch. Any of those things.
Spinners got it, man. The Axe
right.
are Americanizing rugby.
Relate it to what people know and make it more familiar to them so that they can come on board with you. Don't alienate them by saying it's a kit. It's just stupid.
By the way, what did the Axemen win by? Like 50?
56-4 was the final on Saturday afternoon, so they'll be advancing. They'll be home again this Saturday at 5 o'clock.
And you said you thought they were going into the what? Like the conference quarterfinals or something? You weren't quite sure.
I think it's the semifinals.
I think there are like 6 teams in the whole league, aren't there?
It's the semifinals.
Is it the semis?
I do believe,
so they've made the grueling round of 4?
They have.
Out of the 6?
Well, it may be the whole league semifinal. Like, it may not be the conference semifinal.
That's what I'm thinking.
But
I think there's one.
It may be the conference final, and then they'll play the winner of the other game.
You had Fulham. You had the unveiling of the scoreboards. I watched the video. I couldn't go to the unveiling on Saturday night. I had a show on Saturday night, so I'm the lunkhead who missed all the good stuff. Then I saw the video of Gus up on stage introducing Carrie Underwood.
Unreal.
Which was interesting, considering how he was like, yeah, I didn't really stick around for the Carrie Underwood concert. So he stuck around long enough to introduce her, and I guess he hightailed it out of there. But he saw the video.
I wonder if you could hire Gus for parties. Like, honestly, to just come MC a party, because I know that he was obviously isn't a big Carrie Underwood fan, and he was looking forward to getting home with his family and doing whatever, getting ready for practice the next day. But, man, was it fun watching him introduce it. It was high energy watching him do it.
He was just the only thing he wanted to do was make sure you guys her name right.
That's right.
But it was like they told him beforehand, you got 30 seconds. He's like, what am I going to do for 30 seconds? So I think he took like But after that, because like the rookies are here until like 8:30 or 9, so then the coaches meet. So he was probably in the building.
Right.
But then, so. But it was.
Had to get him in the mix.
How about these video boards, man?
Oh man! Have you seen the pools? They got water in them too. Fantastic. It was pretty spectacular from what I saw. I went to Big Cat Country. I was surprised I couldn't find the video more easily. Online, I would think that the whole thing would just be posted.
I think Brent answered that question. Something to do with copyrights or video privileges and stuff. There was a reason why they weren't able to make the whole production available.
Oh, okay. So then, should I not mention that Big Cat Country had a good homemade video of the video that was up there?
No,
I thought it was
actual,
great.
The actual.
What? No. Tell us.
No.
He's getting mad. Why are you mad at me?
I'll get mad during the break. But, the Jaguars couldn't put a DVD out of the production.
I gotcha.
That's what I meant.
No, I knew what you meant. I knew what you meant. I didn't know if...
The worst part was on the Times Union website, the only picture we have for 3 hours after the event was one I took.
How about that?
Thanks, guys.
Do you want to punch me in the arm at least right now? Would that make you feel better?
No.
I didn't know I wasn't trying to confuse the situation.
No. And for the fans who didn't have the opportunity to get out there, I mean, honestly, the video was unbelievably awesome. Like I thought it was unbelievably awesome. But again, look, Ryan O'Halloran.
A curmudgeon.
Ryan is not a Jacksonville guy. I mean, he's a transplant to Jacksonville here in just the last couple of years. And I've talked to a lot of people here in the last couple of days that had the opportunity to be out there.
Right.
And for the people who grew up in this city, where this is what they've known their entire lives, it was almost like a love letter from Shad Khan to the city of Jacksonville is what it felt like if you're from here and that's what you've done your entire life. If you're from outside of Jacksonville, it's like, well, it's a lot of neat shots of a beach, and I guess that's a different part of town.
Counterpoint, Ryan O'Halloran?
I thought there should have been more Jaguar stuff.
Very little Jaguar stuff.
Okay. But, I mean, it was, I guess, more about the city of Jacksonville, who did put a lot of money into the project.
I mean, I watched it stand on the field. It was it made me proud to be a resident of the town. So that it was cool from that respect. So the fact that everything worked properly. I don't think the fireworks added much to it because the board's so big you don't need fireworks.
You almost didn't notice they were going on. I'd be like, they're like shooting off the top of the board in addition.
Someone next to me was like, are those fireworks? I was like, I don't know, the board. Like, it's like, who knows what's going on
but
anywhere but on those
the
boards
board,
right
the
now.
Board.
But the best part of the night was the tepid response to Mayor Alvin Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a smattering of boos.
Just a smattering?
Yeah. But then,
isn't that pretty much standard fare for any elected official?
Well, it wasn't as good as Mark Lampion taking a poke at him during Thursday's luncheon.
So yeah, that was
awesome.
He couldn't make it to the luncheon.
But so Alvin had to turn it around and say, hey, let's give a big, but the response, the crowd's response to Shad Khan was I guess very well deserved.
Oh, I would think
and
so.
And you can see he was very, gratified by that. So, once all the same people who spoke on Friday spoke on Saturday night, and they debuted the boards, and there you go.
And on you went. And
if you haven't seen him, anyone who wasn't out there on Saturday night, you won't believe it. I mean, really, you won't believe it. The picture on those things.
Yeah,
I
don't
unreal.
Imagine the video does it justice. What I saw, kind of secondhand. I told you I was out there for that luncheon and just seeing it loom over from the complete opposite end of the stadium, loom over the terrace suites like it was 20 feet in front of you on the wall, I thought was amazing.
Yeah, just like Thursday when they just had the picture of the flag.
Right.
They were like, big flag.
That's a big flag.
but as I probably stayed for like four or five of Carrie's songs before I left because I want to be so.
What are your three favorite Carrie Underwood songs?
Well, we're gonna hear those on.
I know we are
entering every break today. But the cool thing is they diverted me through. They diverted me through the Main Street Bridge, so I had to take. So I got on 95 and I couldn't see the top of the stadium lights, but. In the night sky, you can see the lights flashing
of the
boards.
Right.
So, I mean, it's going to be, you know, I'm sure the maybe accidents on 95,
yeah.
People are going, what's that UFO?
The scoreboards light up the J parking lot, and it doesn't even face towards that. It's just the lights flashing the other way light up that parking lot.
By the way, I wish I had diverted myself away from the Main Street Bridge today after spending five draining miles on 95 North, crawling along at about 2 miles per hour on average, get to the Main Street Bridge, and the bridge is up, and there's already a long line, and there's a dude in like a yellow, you know, high visibility jacket, clearly somebody works on the bridge. It's like walking along, like he's looking like, why isn't this thing coming down? And then it came down about two-thirds of the way and stopped, and people were turning around, you know, going on like, man, I'm already late, I don't need this, and then finally it went down.
Because, you know, the best time to test bridges out is, you know, during
8:45 in the morning.
8:30.
Right around that time. Right around that time is good. If you were at the mega event, the unveiling, I mean, it's really, to me, it was a scoreboard event, and maybe you went for the soccer, maybe you went for the Carrie Underwood concert, maybe you went for all of it. Just like to get your impressions of that, particularly if you are a Jacksonville, longtime Jacksonville resident, what you thought of the presentation. Ryan O'Halloran kind of gave it an eye roll. Fat Tony a little more glowing, and Ryan's waiting to really hit me now. Probably, I'm thinking shoulder jaw combination.
Let's put it this way: on the video presentation, I give A-.
Okay, A-.
You know, if they
had more Jaguar content, you would have bumped it up.
Yeah, because that's, you know, ultimately that's why they're there.
You thought it should have been maybe. Kind of a rogues gallery of Jaguar media presentation.
Well, it's what clearly got the biggest reaction. When they finally show the Jaguars up there, that's
what got
the biggest reaction.
When they show Gus up there,
yeah.
On the, you know, in a Gus picture.
Right.
So.
Well, I get it. But look, I think they're trying to say this is more than just about the Jags. They're a big part of it, obviously.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of cool that they gave some love to some of the other sporting events and sports in town. But that was me. I guess I found the person who's more of a cynic than I am, Tony, and he joins us most Mondays throughout the football season.
Wait till I start coming in here after games.
Oh my goodness, looking forward to it. All right, you want to get in today? 641-1010. He is Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union, along with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey, and today the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight asks you about Cecil Shorts out for. Couple of weeks, maybe several weeks. It's a little bit vague exactly how long it'll be, but expected to be at least 2 weeks with a grade 2 hamstring strain. So the question today is, you know his injury history. He's had a variety of injuries that have kept him nicked up or missing games over the last couple of years, and had a hamstring injury that caused Cecil Shorts to miss a good chunk of OTAs. So how concerned are you with this latest injury for Cecil Shorts? Are they just being cautious at a time right now when they don't need him for games that don't count? Or are you a little bit more concerned with that he seems to have an issue ongoing, getting nicked up?
Well, if they're not concerned, they're not being forthright, because you listed his history. He couldn't get through one practice.
Right.
This is not like where you try to plow through when the pads go on and you're pushing. And all of a sudden, you know, you feel a little tweak. I mean, it went from, you know, we pulled him out as a precautionary until we think he's going to be a day-to-day, to now 2 weeks. I don't think we see him until the opener.
Well, Ryan O'Halloran, always the optimist, ladies and gentlemen, as I'm finding out as we go along. Maybe you agree with him. Maybe you don't. Share your thoughts. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren as well. Good to see the whole crew representing all weekend long. Out at Jag Training Camp. Hope to see you tonight at Bartram Trail. You want to get in today? 641-1010. We'll come back with observations from the weekend that was at Jaguar practice, and want your thoughts on Saturday night's mega event, the unveiling of the world's largest video boards and more. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. You know, my request for Mo Howard, we're going to get Carrie Underwood all day. I really want him to, I want him to list his top three, Tony, because I know he has a top three.
Is this Carrie Underwood?
I guess.
Yes.
This is Carrie Underwood.
And also, I'm not sure that it was really by request that Ryan asked for Carrie Underwood. I think it was more of a directive.
Oh, was it? Well, that's
it was more phrase.
Right. This dude is a crotchety, angry man. I thought I was the angry guy. I mean, I know Prosser feels like he holds the crown as well. O'Halloran not only demands Carrie Underwood, then he leaves the room. I think he's firing off an angry blog about me, Tony, at
could be
at jacksonville.com/sports. So
yes, I started with blown away because I truly was blown away by that video. Saturday.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Well, Ryan said it wasn't that impressive.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with him.
I think you must be incorrect.
I was standing in the Bud Zone. Our seats were a little bit in front of the Bud Zone, and we had gotten up, and we watched it from the Bud Zone, and everyone around us stopped what they were doing, stopped talking, and you could just see the excitement, and, I mean, I had goosebumps the entire video, especially being from here. It was just, I thought it was freaking phenomenal.
In all honesty, I go to the TU, and I'm looking around for the video, and I didn't know about the copyright, so that's why we have a hard-biting reporter like Ryan O'Halloran to break that for me.
Oh, I'm back.
not like we weren't talking about you while you were gone. But I go, seriously, in all the stories at the TU, is this typical in comments in Jaguar-related stories like, what a boondoggle. There's, you know, wasted taxpayer money. And it's also anti, like, every comment's anti anything good happening.
It's called
like
the internet.
Below the story?
Yes.
You could write, hey, great day by the rookie receivers, and there'll be a comment on there, well, Justin Blackmon had a good day, too, when he was a rookie. So it's... You know, it's almost like a forum for people who are just need somebody to
be angry.
Be angry,
right? Yeah, you've got this, and they've got the comments.
Yeah, and like when I like, especially when you tweet like like a Bortles, like what Bortles went 7 for 7 on Saturday,
right?
And somebody tweeted me back, well, Gabbert went 10 of 11 one day.
Okay,
so
what? Should I not report what he did?
It's like, that's what, literally sometimes I just sort of snap and I'll say, hey, I'm just putting out the facts. There's no editorial content involved. You keep the numbers, you put them out there, and let us for everybody to digest.
Yeah. There's a lot of, how's this going to help them win games? It's not necessarily, but, you know.
And the big one, whenever I do something about the scoreboard stuff, is, somebody from out of the area will tweet back, well, how's this going to help the Tarps?
Right. Are they going to tarp part of the scoreboard? I've seen that a lot, too.
That's actually not bad, though.
It was amusing the first 17 times,
you know what?
I read it.
They could, and they would still be amazing.
Right. They'd still be bigger than yours.
Pretty much,
suck it, everybody.
Ours is bigger than yours, so that's it. All right, we got phone calls probably all lining up to agree with Ryan and just how disappointed they were in the video presentation. I know I'm overselling it now, but that's
now you're just making me look like a total tool. I gave it an A-.
That's what I do. 6-4-1-10-10. A-, how dare you? Let's go to Alan to lead us off today on Jaguars Today. What's up, Alan? How are you?
Good, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
We're great, man. What's going on?
So, three takeaways from Saturday night, longtime Jag fans, attendees, and all that nine. And, we were there for the boards mainly and some of the soccer. One, I don't know how anybody could say the picture wasn't amazing. There was at least four shots where you could literally see the veins in Carrie Underwood's forehead as she was singing. And I mean, literally that close. And I mean, the image was just crystal clear. It might as well have been your living room. So
really, it really was remarkable quality on every shot.
Well, and you could see when they showed the main video notwithstanding, when they showed even some of Carrie Underwood's videos, the video quality from the camera, obviously, which is high def and the best there is, was even that much more clear than the other stuff. Anyway, the other two quick takeaways. Number two, if you want to see business execution being done right, study the blueprint that we're seeing unfold in front of our city between Shad Khan and Mark Lansing. And I mean, you can comment on that. I'll take it off the air. The third thing is there anybody that's ever been in our city as a leader, as an athlete, whoever, that is somebody that you could truly say if they say it's going to happen, it's going to happen, because Shad Khan has come through on every single thing he said he's going to do. And that's exactly what I think I heard from the audience when they gave roaring cheers. This guy means business, and he does business.
All right. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate it. My thought on that is Tony and I have talked about this quite a bit. If Shad mentions it as a, quote, possibility, it's likely going to be a reality within 12 months. I mean, really, you know, these video boards came out to a lot of people. The concept of doing this came out of nowhere. And then they get them done on time, under budget, you know, which, you know, the job they did putting everything together, Mark Lamping was very effusive in his praise of the people who did the actual work for this. They really did a nice job. And I agree with it. He's a man of action. He doesn't sit around. He's used to getting what he wants and doing what he wants and making things happen. And I think he's going to, in some part, you know, elevate the entire business community of Jacksonville in that regard.
Because if you're a business leader in this community, you want to be at that table.
Sure.
You know, even, you know, not everybody's ever, you know, not everybody, but if you're like, run a business and you want to be able to have a club seat to entertain clients and stuff, so because now this is becoming destination locally, so that's and I think a big thing is what they brought up on Friday is I'm very fascinated to see over the next 18 months what else is going to happen at the stadium in terms of events, you know, concerts, other stuff.
Other sporting events, different things they can attract because of that, sure.
So it makes, okay, then that drives up revenue for the city when people come in, so.
I heard, I believe it was Hicken discussing it this morning. He's at high school, he was at, and probably still is at High School Awareness Day, which is going on right now here at the stadium. He mentioned WrestleMania. Do they only go to open-air stadiums that have the capability to close the roof?
No.
They don't, really?
Because they had it in Orlando.
In New York.
I don't keep track of where they had it before, so that's why I'm asking.
So as Hayes Carlion put on Twitter last night, we should put Tony Khan in charge of that. Because we're the wrestling triumvirate in this building sometimes.
Oh, really? Tony's into the whole wrestling scene
Tony's
as well?
Tony's a big WWE guy, so as am I. So WrestleMania
here. Did Hacker get invited to your little coffee clutch? Or?
Hacker will be invited at some point.
At some point. All right.
He wasn't around yesterday when we were talking about, but
understood.
WrestleMania in this town would be amazing. Because it's a whole couple of week. It's a whole week.
It event. Probably would, because people go nuts for the event. It'd be a great event. I'd have less interest in seeing WrestleMania than I would have in seeing a soccer friendly between a relegated club and a team in the MLS.
Well, the big sporting event thing would obviously, okay, when are they going to get a national semifinal game, football?
Sure.
Okay, are they going to get the big one?
Right.
So.
No, I mean, I think Rick Catlett's pretty confident on that score that at least one of those events that you talked about, and possibly both over the course of the next 10 years or so. Let's get back to the phone, 641-1010. Charles, you're up next here on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Awesome. I had a great time down at the stadium. I thought the boards were awesome. And I don't bring negativity, but I don't think Carrie Underwood, God bless her, I don't think that was the best person. It should have been more upbeat. I mean, as we were walking through the stadium, you know, and just looking at all the new amenities and all that, it was like a dragging. Well, like, wait a minute, people are going to sleep in here. You know, I thought I should have been more upbeat or whatever. I know that'd be family friendly, but I really enjoyed it. And
Who would you have wanted if you could have any act? If you could have programmed the concert, who would it have been?
I mean, that was the question that we fathomed in our mind. Who do we have?
Right, and what answer did you come up with? You've had all weekend to think about this.
I know it. I can't even tell you who I would have.
Tell me, Charles. Come with solutions, not just problems, Charles. Be a problem solver, please.
I would have chosen AC/DC.
Thank you, Charles. You would have chosen AC/DC.
Yeah.
Because they're cutting edge relevant in 2014.
Well, they would have tested out the sound system.
They probably would have.
Yes, they would.
He just went.
That case went out like Run DMC. That would have been awesome.
Like Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Ooh.
That probably would have been very popular.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't know. I don't follow Carrie Underwood. I know who she is. I watched American Idol when she was on it. She's chart-toppingly popular, right?
Yeah.
She's, I mean, she's one of the biggest recording artists in certainly America and I would assume the world, right? Am I wrong about that? I think that's the case.
Maybe what he meant is she does have some slow songs, and so
that's exactly what, yeah.
Yeah, so I can see what he's saying as far as, I mean, she is a big name.
That's fine.
Right.
That's fine. I wasn't there. If you enjoyed the concert or didn't enjoy the concert, I think like most people, for one thing, it's a free concert, which is nice. Well, it was free if you're a season ticket holder. And I assume a lot of the people that were there in that regard.
And I bet it was the first time they got to see who they'll be sitting with this year, which is kind of fun.
Oh, well, you don't know. You're not sitting with Lauren's parents. You're
my
sitting with my wife and son, okay? If you think you're sitting with Lauren's parents.
My parents didn't go, sorry.
I didn't go.
They had a different event to attend.
All right, whoever used my tickets this weekend, you're not sitting with them this year.
You know
year.
What? The people in your section might be a little disappointed.
They could be significantly disappointed. All right, let's move on. 641-1010. Therese is next up here on Jaguars Today. Hi, Therese.
Hi.
What's up?
I just wanted to tell you that we were there on Saturday night, and it was phenomenal. You know, from the beginning to the end. And it was like a vista of things to look at. We had a hard time watching the soccer game, which was so exciting. not really, but...
Hey, I just got that. I just got that.
All right, well...
I'm sorry, it was good.
You don't have to be sorry.
No, that was good shtick.
You don't have to be sorry. Ryan appreciates your snarky sarcasm. It's fantastic.
I call every Monday.
What was your favorite part of the night on Saturday?
My favorite part, and I just have to tell you, was the scoreboard presentation. And I can't wait until, you know, we see something on, like... Veterans Day or Labor Day or, you know, the tribute to our troops and stuff. There was a couple sitting behind us, and they had a service dog actually with them in training for PTSD. And it was a soldier and his wife. And when the flag came up and they showed, like, the veteran scenes and things on, or the troops on the screen, I saw them wiping their eyes. It was just awesome. I could just see, you know, I can see... You know, just big things with the scoreboard. I'm just sorry that we won't, you know, could see it at night so many times. But maybe next year when, you know.
Hey, we're not going
anywhere.
Late season games are going to be flex, baby.
There you go. Sunday night. Here's Mr.
Yeah.
Optimism.
That's
Ryan O'Howard. Therese, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. I was going to suggest for Alvin Brown earlier, honestly. Walk out there with about six members of the military on either side of you. They're not going to boo you at that point in time. I thought there was the video was about Jacksonville, not just the Jaguars, obviously, and I thought they integrated the military into it nicely. And I've heard from a lot of people, and you see a lot of people commenting on social media that it was tough to keep a dry eye for a variety of reasons, whether, you know, you had a military connection or you just grew up here. Like Tony said, you're just, you know, you've seen where the franchise you hope is headed after a lot of down years. Let's get Joe in here before we break on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks. We showed up for the soccer match and the unveiling, and Lauren hit it on the head. If that thing didn't give you goosebumps, then you're not human. I mean, and it's more than the Jaguars. It's for the city, too, seeing that we're paying $43 million for it. It all can't be about the Jaguars, but they integrated everything well, and I was very impressed. We left, I was Carrie Underwood came out, but everything was very nice. You could tell the majority of the people showed up right before the scoreboard unveiling, but everything was very nice.
Right. I mean, thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. And I heard from people that we know, and it'll be up to them to tell you the story themselves if they choose to, but some arrived moments before the video boards were
yes.
unveiled.
Yes,
and
they did.
Don't know if they stick around.
Frank Frangie?
Yes. I don't know if they stuck around for the entire... Knowing Frangie, he'd probably enjoy Carrie Underwood.
He did.
I think he likes his...
He smattering. Stayed all the way through the end. We didn't talk about that.
So again, your top three Carrie Underwood songs are what?
I have no idea.
You liar. You liar.
Oh, so I would recognize him. Hey, Lauren, what did she start off with?
Oh, now I don't remember.
Yeah, exactly.
I know she Got finished it. With Before He Cheats, and she played all of the hits. She played... did she start with Wasted?
No, I can't remember.
Yeah, she played All American Girl. She played Undo It. She played Cowboy Casanova. She played...
That's pretty impressive,
Black Cadillacs.
That's pretty
Black Cadillacs.
She didn't start with that one, though. I thought she started with Wasted, no?
Good Girl.
Apparently you guys are three, good girl, okay. two or three of the only six that stuck around to hear all these.
All of my friends, we stayed throughout the
end. Gus was gone.
The funniest part is I stayed for four songs, and when I was walking out, people were walking in. I was like, you guys missed it.
They missed all the,
everything.
They missed the event.
They did.
Still get to see the boards in action. And if you missed the video, while it's up, anyway, go to Big Cat Country. You can see the whole thing on a pretty good shot of it, too, I thought, from the opposite from, I guess, from the south end zone, from the Bud Zone, shooting towards the north end zone. 641-1010. You want to weigh in if you were out at the mega event on Saturday night, your impressions of what's happening with the stadium. Obviously, the video board unveiling a big part of that. We've got our impressions from the weekend of training camp practices as well. Who stood out? Who's lagging behind? Who's dragging in the cold tub right now? We'll get into all that coming up. Tweet the show at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. It's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Here's my fourth favorite Carrie Underwood song. Can't remember the title of it, but I'm sure it was in my top four.
Is this the Cadillac song?
No.
Is it the Mercedes?
This is Undo It.
No? Oh, Undo It. Yes.
Yeah, y'all will be singing along to the na-na-na part.
Will we?
Absolutely.
You think I'll know it, or we'll just sing along?
Well, it kind of goes na-na-na-na, so yeah. I think you can do it.
Yeah. Like, I had never heard the song before in my life, and when she did it on Saturday night, by the time she got halfway through the chorus,
you were doing
I
it?
Knew the chorus.
All right.
At least.
Na-na-na-na. I'm not going to wait for it. Sorry, we'll move on. 641-1010. I'm sure it was exciting. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll get thoughts from training camp week one. I have a list of standout moments, at least from what I saw. Did this strike you? I thought yesterday's practice was so boring for about an hour and 45 minutes worth of it. They're not all exciting, but there were about 10 to 15 minutes worth of plays that I thought, wow. There were a lot of, like, you know, eye-catching plays out there yesterday. Geno Hayes, interception, a couple of really nice catches, one by Denard Robinson, one by Mercedes, although not in team. That was kind of in positional drills, made a one-handed grab. I thought there were a lot of standout individual moments. Overall, I thought the practice was pretty sleepy.
Well, it was, except for, you know, the
Scrap, a little fracas.
That, and then when the linemen got together, I mean, seeing Red Bryant land on Zane Beadle,
yes,
was awesome.
Yeah, not for Zane.
Yeah, well, I asked Zane afterwards, I said, big man. He goes, yes.
Yeah, yes, he is. And two guys that have talked a lot about how hot it is already, you know, this summer, adjusting to a new team, they got to roll around in each other's sweat for a moment or two there.
That just livened up the workout. I mean, the last 45 minutes were pretty entertaining. But they didn't do as much 11-on-11 as they'd done the previous 2 days.
Right.
So maybe they get a little bit back more to that tonight.
I would think they're going to try to put on a show tonight. They're making a big deal out of
Oklahoma drill, baby.
I don't think they'll have
never
Oklahoma
again.
Drill.
Goal line.
Although the guy who was involved in one of the original Oklahoma drills, Tyson Alualu, right? And yeah. Then he had 2 years of lingering issues from Oklahoma drill hangover, whatever it was. He was not afraid to throw a closed fist at Clay Harbor once that helmet came off.
Yeah. Then he
punched him in the face mask the first time. Then, oh, the helmet's off? We'll take a full swing at you
then
now.
Then he shoved somebody away, and then once he realized it was a coach, then he sort of let up.
Yeah, that's enough.
Yeah, I caught the helmet virtually.
Did you?
I mean, it was straight at me when it got thrown off. It might have wound up in the stands if I hadn't been in the way.
Did you catch it or did it catch you?
No, I knocked it down. To say I caught it.
Did you save someone's life by catching that helmet?
My own.
Knock it down. Knock it down.
No, I knocked it down, and I don't know what happened between those two guys.
Clay Harbor caught a 5-yard pass on like a 3rd-and-4 situation, right? And he picked up what would have been a first down, and they kind of got, oh, you know, tangled up, just, you know, nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah, it looked like, I mean, like, play was blown dead. Alualu tried to sort of punch the ball out. Harbor sort of pushed back.
A little push. Right. And then Alualu went to the face mask.
Yeah, and then, you know, it was over quick, and, you know, it was, but, like, it was funny afterwards, like, Clay Harbor saying, well, I was just trying to finish my block. You had the ball.
Right.
So that shows you how big of a deal he thought it was. He didn't remember what he did on the play.
No.
Well, maybe it was because of something earlier on a block. Alu was a little frustrated from some play earlier.
Somebody said they thought they heard Clay Harbor say, "Hold me back," when there was, like, no one around.
I think he said, "Where's my helmet?"
Did he? I thought he said, "What the hell?" Maybe he said, "Where's my helmet?" I thought it was just like, what the hell was that all about?
I think so, too. But
that came out of nothing. I didn't hear "hold me back."
The best one was afterwards, I talked to Andre Branch. I said, "Did we see a mad Red Bryant today?" And he looked at me. He goes, "No." He goes, "If Red was mad, it would take everybody to hold him back."
Right.
So that was pretty funny. But, hey, just stuff like that livens up the workout. But what I'm hoping tonight, it's probably not going to happen. The last time I covered a night practice at a high school was my first year covering a league. In 04 at the Redskins, and it was closed to the public, so they ended with goal line, full contact, ones versus ones, and they did four plays from the one.
Melee?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Afterwards, it was offense and defense getting together, because, I mean, that kind of stuff is what team building's all
right.
about. You know, they kept it clean, so I hope Gus does, like you said, a couple of things where it's not, you know, do they throw some long routes, some one-on-ones with corners or receivers, etc., because it's still just shoulder pads.
Yeah, I think they're going to try to entertain a little bit tonight. I mean, how many times does Gus Bradley use the phrase "connect with the following"? Right. I mean, every press conference following practice, he says it's another opportunity to connect with the following. We encourage our players to connect with the following. I think they get it in that regard. We always wondered why every one of these scrimmages in the stadium didn't start with a deep pass. You're going to throw one at some point, get people excited, mm-hmm. you know, just give them a reason to ooh and ah right off the bat.
The way I would start the practice or end the practice tonight to liven up, I'll say it very simply, linemen catching punts.
Okay.
That always gets fans fired.
There you go. I'll tell you what, you know who's getting doing their best, I mean vocally, to get their side of the football fired up? Dwayne Grotz. Is he the biggest talker right now on that side of the football?
Dwayne Grotz talks a lot. Winston Guy. That was awesome. There was a play.
Was that another Clay Harbor play?
No, that was Allen Robinson.
Running
just like a flat route to the middle of the field, and the ball wound up getting dropped. But Winston flashed across his face, and he came to the media and the fans. He's like, he was going to sleep.
He was going to sleep.
You saw, and then he walked back to the defensive huddle just to make sure we knew that if that was the regular season, somebody was about to die.
He is a big man, and he has made a point of making it obvious throughout OTA practices when he was in position to go lights out on somebody.
Yep.
Potentially.
Salute.
In today's...
he's moved beyond
much
saluting.
More safe NFL.
Oh, now yeah. He's just yelling so, it at you.
The saluting call. Well, now because he had an audience too. You know, not every one of those practices was open to the public. He had an audience the other day. He wanted to let you know it was nap time for Allen Robinson, who made a terrific contested catch, which I think is what you're going to see him really excelling at, hopefully, in his Jaguars career. Using that big body, he got his back turned to the defensive back who was just hanging all over him. Can't remember who it was. And it wasn't that it was, you know, so far down the field or the high degree of difficulty, you know, with the acrobatics to make the catch. He was just taking the contact and absorbing it like nothing happened. You know, and I think he's got that frame, you know, like a Brandon Marshall. He's not as big as T.O., but, you know, one of those type receivers.
Yeah, I mean, you see him winning the majority of the 50-50 balls.
Yeah.
And he's not out jumping people, but he's out fighting them.
Right.
You know, because he can use that body to sort of shield it.
He's strong.
And he's got good hands. So I think, you know, if you look at for the standouts of camp so far, he's definitely up there.
I thought, you know, and he's shown when he's been on the field, because he missed a good chunk of time, obviously, as well this summer, faster than I would have expected, you know, just based on the scouting reports and not really watching him up close with Penn State over the last couple of years. 641-1010, let's get a couple of calls in here. Saqib, you're up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, I want to make a quick couple of things. I was a couple of weeks ago, I sneaked into the field with Chad Johnson and a couple other people that were invited. And he made a point to everybody over there. It was a couple hundred people there, I'm going to say. He said he brought the new scoreboard vision to the owner. And he said, don't ever bring me a little small version. Always bring me something that's big. I want to have the biggest here in Jacksonville. I don't want to have the second worst or second. I want to have the biggest stuff here in Jacksonville. That made me really happy because, you know, they're make, make spending all this money here in Jacksonville. Now, I know some of it is city money. I know some of it is his money, but it was amazing to see Shah Khan spending $20-some million on his own money. And it was amazing on Saturday. And I just want to make one more quick thing is, his shorts will never get paid if he keeps getting hurt. I mean, this guy keeps getting hurt every year, and I really want to see him stay here in Jacksonville. That would be really good if they can, you know, somehow get the deal done.
Well, they want to get something done, and thank you for the call, Saqib. We told you the Tom Bush Family Dealerships question of the day is, how concerned are you with Cecil Shorts? Not just that he's hurt now and will miss a couple of weeks, but is it a pattern with him? He missed time during OTAs. We were talking the other day. Was it on the air or off? It might have been off the air on Friday at the first practice, and we were talking about Cecil Shorts and them, Ryan, negotiating or wanting to get a new deal done with him. And to paraphrase you, you said something to the effect of, needs to sign it right away. Get it done as quickly as possible.
That was before he went down.
Right.
You know, and that's one of the reasons why. There are two reasons why. He's aware of his track record, and also he's also aware of, players can see other talented players.
Sure.
He sees Leon Robinson. They're going to help the team. They're also going to impact his numbers.
Absolutely.
So be proactive from that front. Don't wait, because as you said on the air, the history of guys banking on a year to increase their value.
Right.
Generally doesn't work out.
No, on occasion you gamble on yourself. Joe Flacco did it, worked great.
And, I think it's an even bigger gamble when you're a guy like Shorts, who is a mid round pick. Flacco at least had a first round deal.
He had some millions of dollars in the bank, unlike a guy named Cecil. I think you're right about that, and I think you go back. That's why Maurice Jones-Drew took a deal that, you know, it was part a gamble on the Jags and part a gamble on his part. Thought he was a better player probably than the money indicated, but it was pretty good money for a guy who hadn't proven that he could carry the full load for a team. Sometimes that's what you do. You know, you give up that shot for really going for the brass ring for a little bit of security.
Yeah, because you look at those second, third round picks, is you, if you outplay that contract, then you have a bigger decision to make.
Right.
Okay. Do you sign the extension or do you gamble? In Maurice's case, as a running back, he did absolutely the right thing.
Right, you get hit all the time. Yeah. And overall, despite the fact that he had a couple of injury plagued last two seasons, I thought it was a good deal for both sides.
Yeah, and because, you know, he earned that money.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's and that's why, you know, I think Maurice would probably admit this now, is it wasn't a messy breakup. Things had played its course. You know, he got $33 million plus from this team.
Right. Let's get Ron in here before we break quickly. Ron, what's going on with you, buddy? What can we do for you this morning?
Hey, guys. I went to the game Saturday night and everything. This is my second time as a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
And I went to my seat because I've never been there. And I'm calling to tell people who's in Section 227, Row S, that section does not exist. There's a wall there. There was a misjudgment on construction or something, and your seat or row does not exist. So they need to call the Jaguars to reassess their, move their seat section.
Is that what, were you told that when you inquired, when you showed up, and did you go looking for somebody?
Yeah, I went up there to the seats, and I said, wait a minute, I don't see my number on here. And I went to one of the employees, and they looked at it and said, no, it's not here. So it was a misprint on the tickets, and they didn't know about it. So I'm going down tomorrow morning and relocate, and people need to call that did not show up that game.
Give me a section again.
227.
Uh-huh.
Row S.
Okay.
And gate 3 if you need to go up that.
Right. We appreciate it, man. And good luck getting everything. Hopefully you get as good or better seats.
Oh, I think it'll get better.
Good.
All right.
Well, in the end, as long as they take care of you, I mean, it would be, you don't want that to happen when you show up for the Colts game in week 3, right? That's not when you want to have that worked out. So,
He had season tickets
in that section.
And his row doesn't.
And that row has been removed, apparently. It's from the sounds of it, due to some of the construction that's been going on. So, you know, if you haven't, put it this way, if you haven't been to the stadium to check out your seat this year, maybe it's worth a phone call to find out if everything's A-OK. Good
or
luck.
Or do it on Saturday.
Or do it, that's right, do it on Saturday for the scrimmage.
Yeah.
Another event I'll miss, thanks to my Saturday night radio schedule. But that's why I have Ryan and Tony to give me the full report, and of course Lauren as well. 641-1010. We'll come back. This date in football history looms large. There's actually a lot going on, which means we're getting closer
Hooray!
To the season. I know. Isn't that nice? It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you live at EverBank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I'm Lauren Brooks with your 1010XL 92.5 FM Heekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update, brought to you by Osteen Volkswagen. Training camp for the Jags is well underway, and quarterback Chad Henne is developing a good rhythm with veteran tight end Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah, I think he's probably the one that's really opening a lot of eyes, making the plays that we want him to make, using his body, just understanding the routes that we're trying to accomplish out there, and he's really impressive right now. We're going to keep feeding him until he shows us that he can make the plays, but right now, if he's one-on-one, I think we're going to go to him.
The Jags will take the field tonight from 6 until 8:20 at Bartram Trail High School in front of 2,500, but the offense will be without receiver Cecil Shorts III, who suffered a grade 2 hamstring during practice Friday and will be sidelined a couple of weeks. The shoulder pads went on yesterday for the first time, and Wednesday is the first practice in full pads. This Saturday, head out to EverBank Field to see the Jaguars scrimmage, with gates opening at 5 o'clock, and the practice will run from 6:45 until 8:15. You can register now at jaguars.com/scrimmage. Players and members of the Roar will sign autographs along the field walls before a 4-minute fireworks show. The First Coast continues to produce talented high school athletes, and Clay offensive lineman Zach Baker in the class of 2015 has verbally committed to Duke. I'm Lauren Brooks with your 1010XL 92.5 FM Heekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update, brought to you by Osteen Volkswagen.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
Yes, this date in football history for the final time in the month of July. It was not the final time, but the final Monday in the month of July. I don't know what I'm talking about.
What are you doing?
I was really confused.
Not February.
It's the end of the month. It's getting close. Maybe I just won't do it for the next few days.
Curveball.
But Best Fence Company of Jacksonville would not be happy. They're bringing you this date in football history. 1929, the Chicago Cardinals, know them and love them, became the first NFL team to train out of state when they took the show on the road to Michigan. This will tell you how times have changed in the NFL. 1933, the NFL divided into 2 5-team divisions. That was due to the fact that the previous year, two teams had tied for the best record, and they ended up having a one-game, quote-unquote, playoff to determine the champion. It was so popular that they decided, let's do this every year. Isn't this a good idea? The Portsmouth Spartans were one of those teams that played the Chicago Bears in the championship the year before.
So a professional sports league in a country where baseball had already been around for 50 years was like, oh, that World Series works out pretty well.
I mean, the World Series was 1903 when it debuted, so close to 3 decades of watching that transpire. But how about this? The year before, when they played the championship game, the weather was bad. They're going to play it in Soldier Field. It was so bad, they played it indoors at some stadium in Chicago that limited the field to being 80 yards long because they just didn't have the space.
Chicago Stadium.
There you go. And, I mean, could you imagine? Right.
That's nuts.
We're just going to go play it on the arena field.
Right.
Okay. That's all we got. That's our alternative. Give me, how many teams can you name?
Oh, no.
From the 10 teams that were split into 2 5-team divisions back in 1933, several of which are still in existence. What do you got, O'Halloran? We'll go one for one here. What do you got?
Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Pirates were one of the teams.
Yeah, you got to still. I got the Chicago Cardinals.
Chicago Cardinals, correct, because we just mentioned them.
Packers.
The Packers, Green Bay Packers. Cardinals, by the way, went 1-9-1 that year.
Bears.
There are a lot of ties. The Bears, the Packers. How about this? The Cincinnati Reds. They could copy the names from baseball.
Couldn't figure out the playoff
couldn't
works.
Figure out the postseason. And the Portsmouth Spartans, that was one division. The Bears, Packers, Reds, Cards, and Spartans.
Eagles.
Crazy.
The Eagles, that's correct. You had the Pirates, the Eagles.
Giants.
You had the New York Giants. You had the Brooklyn Dodgers, once again. And you had the Boston Redskins. So blame it on Boston.
How about that?
Boston, once again, proving itself as the most racist city in America. I don't know if that's true or not. I've never.
But he loves
been
to say
there.
It as a Yankee
I just
fan.
Went through the airport once. I'm just saying others have called it that. I have no idea. Not to besmirch the fine people of Boston, if there are any. That would fit that category. So
direct emails too.
As much smirching and besmirching could take place right there. That's what you have for this date in football history. It was well worth the wait. It's brought to you by the best fence company of Jacksonville. Their mission is to fabricate and install the highest quality fence for you at a competitive price while still providing unsurpassed customer service. Fencing is an investment in your home or your business. Your family's going to feel protected. You're going to breathe easier knowing Best Fence installed your new fence, and they provide professional free estimates at your convenience. So call them at 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. Coming up, we'll tell you about our newest photo contest. We're going to bring those back and give away a pair of tickets to the home opener. Other things, though, from the weekend. If anything in particular that stood out to you, Ryan O'Halloran?
Give you a couple guys that stood out. Chris Smith cannot be blocked by backups, which is a good sign for them. That means
couple of batted passes. Yep. Got some pressure on the quarterback.
Yep. So as they transition in the later this camp, I'd see when they start mixing him in with the against starters. So I think that's a good start for him. Alan Hearns, the rookie receiver, Gus feels like he's picked up where he left off. He had a drop yesterday. But Schwartz's injury moves him up a notch, so when they go three wide with the first team, it's Hearns, Lee, and Robinson, three rookies. So I think he's going to get a huge opportunity. And also I think Telvin Smith, they're sticking him at that Sam linebacker, so he just learned that. And he's getting a lot of reps because they're banged up there, banged up all over.
Right.
With no Watson, now no JT Thomas. Hayes gets a day off. So it's an opportunity for Telvin to earn some reps.
Mark Long would scold you for not referring it to it as the auto, by the way.
Which, for Watson.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
It depends on the day if it's auto or just outside linebacker. But I'm trying to think on offense. It's so tough to really assess at this point.
I thought it's hard to tell because it's not full contact, but Tony and I, was it the one Jordan Todman run?
On the first 9-on-7.
Yeah, where you're like, yeah, that looked legit. You know, some of them are tough to tell because guys are not obviously finishing their tackles, and guys will go through where they would have been tackled and continue to run for 10 or 15 yards and make it look a little bit better. I thought Storm Johnson looked good on Saturday.
He looks fast.
He does look fast, yeah. Doesn't he? I thought he had one play where he was running at the sideline at about a 45-degree angle, just full freight train, full speed ahead, got there and was able to turn it and kind of tightrope the sideline for an extra 10 yards. And I thought a savvy Jaguar fan base gave him a nice cheer for, some pretty good footwork there.
And I thought Denard had the best catch of the day yesterday.
Oh, it was fantastic. Kind of a spinning thing. He kept the ball out away from his body, caught it with both hands. It's really one of those instances when you see the ball stick in somebody's hands, and without a bobble, he had one of those catches. And, for the most part, saw him drop one over the course of the weekend. But it's now a noticeable event when the ball hits the ground, when it's coming in his direction.
Instead of, there it was again.
Right. No, I mean, he's been, in that regard, he's been pretty good.
Yeah, and it looks at me through 3 days, they're sticking with their every other day thing with Linder and McClendon at right guard.
Right.
So tonight would be Linder. But I still expect him to be the guy. But, when we watched these one-on-one drills with the O-line, D-line yesterday, I mean, I think Drew Nowak at guard is a long shot to make the roster because of numbers, but he won at least three of his matchups against Alualu, who's a guy who's going to be on the team. So, they're just looking for one of these backup linemen to emerge.
Yeah, Logman's talked about Nowak much earlier in the summer, said he's a guy that he thinks doesn't get much notice at all, but that he is probably better than you would realize because he doesn't get all that much notice. Geno Hayes, we mentioned, had probably what would have been a long pick six on a pass that, it's hard to know where the guy was supposed to go, what he's seeing from his angle, but from our standpoint, it looked like Drew Stanzi just served it right up.
That's what it looked like. It was a quick slant. Copeland was running a quick slant, and probably just Geno probably just read his eyes. Geno was on the field with the third team defense there because they're short linebacker, so he said afterwards, I was taking some reps with the ones, and then we're rotating each other reps with the threes, so And he's not going to get an easier one than that.
No, he's not going to get. And he, you won't see him tonight either if the plan holds, because they've been alternating days with him and, I guess, Roy Miller as well. So
Roy had yesterday off.
Right, Roy had yesterday off, so should be a day on for Geno Hayes tonight. Like I said, I saw a lot of Winston Guy and Dwayne Grotz. Just really just more attitude as much. I mean, they're playing pretty well from what you can tell. Dwayne Grotz is breaking up some passes, but it seems like they're going to bring kind of an edge to the secondary. And I think the best secondaries kind of have that. It's a position that you got to have a little bit of swagger to play cornerback, I think, in the National Football League. And as the secondary as a whole, you see, again, the model being Seattle. Not that they're necessarily saying, hey, go out there and have the same personality as those guys, but that would fit the blueprint.
And Cyprian's not the stage yet where he's a yapper.
Right.
Alan Ball's a veteran, not really that kind of guy, so it leaves it for those two. But, yeah, it's good to have that kind of edge. You know?
I think so.
You know, a couple, like, yeah, remember me type pass breakups. They're going to be there all day long.
Yep. All right. 641-1010 if you want to get on board. We'll take a quick time out here. And we're scheduled to join us coming up in about 35 minutes. We're told Luke Jokel is going to pop in working out this morning.
Yep.
And we'll talk to him prior to tonight's practice out at Bartram Trail, where 2,500 of you will form a capacity crowd for this particular event. So we're hoping to catch up with Luke in about 30 to 35 minutes from now. So stick around for that. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today, live at Everbank Field on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. All right, we continue on Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here. Luke Jokel scheduled to join us in less than 30 minutes on the program. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you. Back to our Foundation Professionals of Florida weekly photo contest. This week, if you want a chance to win tickets to the Jags home opener versus the Colts, we need you to post on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Jaguars Today, or tweet me a photo, your favorite, that you took from last Friday's mega event, or I said Friday. That's why it's on my brain, Tony. I put Friday in the post. Saturday's mega event. Tisk, tisk. Your favorite photo of the boards from the concert, from the soccer game, all of the above, preferably with some personality, you and your collective Jaguar fans being featured in that photo. Anyway, we'll select our favorite, and we'll put you in a drawing, and as the season approaches, we'll select the winner, and they'll get a pair of tickets to the home opener versus the Indianapolis Colts, courtesy of Foundation Professionals of Florida. They know that the fans are the foundation of the Jaguar organization. Your foundation for your house, nothing much more important for your biggest investment. A bad foundation, everything else is not going to work right. Know the signs. Exterior and interior wall cracks, windows and doors sticking, foundation cracks, sloping floors. There may be more than one solution to your foundation problem. With Foundation Professionals, they've got underpinning, polyurethane, cement grout injection, sinkhole stabilization, you name it. If you've got an issue with your home's foundation, call the professionals. Foundation Professionals of Florida at 287-2690, online at foundationprosfl.com. Tonight, won't see Cecil Shorts out there, and that is the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. How concerned are you? We'll get to some of your responses to that with the hamstring injury, which, you know, we heard it happen, and immediately I thought, that's probably 2 weeks. You know, even though they said strain, and then, you know, 2 weeks is several. May not see him. Who knows when we'll see him out there. How concerning would it be to you, Ryan, with such a young wide receiver core, if they have to play early in the season at any point without Cecil Shorts?
Well, it would be concerning because of that veteran presence, but it wouldn't be as much as if he went down in August 28th and all of a sudden, where's our leader? You know, so they may get used to, they're going to get used to playing with.
Could be an advantage of these guys getting additional reps.
Yeah, I mean, they'll benefit from that. Whether that helps them produce in week one, we'll see. But, I mean, if you go to Philadelphia and your first three receivers are rookies, that's tough sled.
Oh, no question.
And so I would think it impacts this team that way.
Where do you think Kerry Taylor fits into the numbers game in terms of trying to make this roster? I look at him. Did you just whip out your depth chart? Is this the O'Halloran projection?
This is not. This is a laminated sheet that all of you can see here on radio.
Well, at that point, you explain it's a laminated sheet.
It's divided by position. I type out each player numerically, so it's in order numeric. And this would be my roster sheet for the whole year. Every roster move, every IR, every practice squad goes on this sheet. And by the end of the year, it looks like a dang roadmap.
So you don't, like, update it. You just make marks on
I take it out of the sheet.
He won't let me touch it, man. I held it, your laminated sheet. I won't get
it. I was going to show you.
Yeah, he was going to put, okay, so there are multiple pages in here.
Can we get a picture, please?
We do need a twit pick. Okay. Mm-hmm. A twit pick of Ryan's master roster for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
But, Kerry Taylor.
Yes.
Pre-ace, I thought he was Taylor was outside. I'm looking in, just added numbers, and now, yeah, he could sneak in there if they keep six. So I think that would be Shorts, Lee, Robinson, Hearns,
Mike Brown,
and then Doss. I think Doss is a lock now because you need him to return punts.
Right.
And then Kerry Taylor would be your sixth guy. So
would that be seven?
Lee, Brown, Taylor, Doss, Robinson.
Shorts,
Hearns. Yeah, okay, that's six. So I think Taylor and Brown are fighting for the same spot.
Right.
Which probably was the case going into camp, because I maybe thought Doss was going to be on that bubble as well. So, but think about Kerry Taylor, and he flashes more than Mike Brown, but I think Kerry seems like he catches a lot of everything too. So I think he's had a solid camp.
I think he has too. I think he had a really good summer.
Yeah, he feels like this is his best chance to make a week 153 of his career. He's been cut, 11 times in 4 years. So I think he's definitely going to be in the mix.
Marcel Jensen was a guy at tight end that I think we saw some interesting, flash is the word you use. When they make a play that stands out and catches your eye, that's what flashing is, basically. But he made several of those eye-catching plays throughout OTAs. He's been very quiet through the first weekend. I'd seen Clay Harbor get involved a ton over these last 3 days, and it's just 3 days worth. But you figure they're going to keep three tight ends on the roster, but does Jensen need to stand out a little bit more?
Definitely, because obviously Lewis is your lock at one, Harbor is your lock at two, and then there is a significant drop down to three. Talavia is already hurt. That doesn't help his chances. He figures a long shot anyways. It's right there for Jensen. Just like it was right there last year in this time for Ryan Otten.
We'll go with Otten.
Let's go Otten. Undrafted guy. Otten couldn't make it happen. They hit the waiver wire, picked up Harbor. I think this is going to be a waiver wire position if one of these guys don't start establish themselves. I mean, they're going to have to show they can block, which that's not going to be our untrained eyes to figure that out. But, like you said, I don't see him making a lot of plays in the passing game either so far.
Yeah, and I thought Clay Harbor, he was the guy on the end of probably the best throw of the weekend from Blake Bortles on Saturday. One that went somewhere around midfield, maybe around the 40, but it went down to about the 10-yard line. You remember the play I'm talking about?
All right. The one I remember is the pass to the near sideline to Taylor. And then the pass after that was the Harbor over the middle, near the goal line.
Was that to Taylor, the initial play that set him up?
Because it was a three-play deal because he did Taylor, Harbor,
and then it was Copeland. Who caught the touchdown?
Copeland.
You couldn't tell from our end of the field. So it was Kerry Taylor who caught that ball. The reason I brought it up, though, was more to highlight what Blake did on that pass. I thought that was the best downfield pass I've seen him throw since he's been here. And again, nobody's freaking out about it. And I don't think he's ever going to be this guy that throws that John Elway spiral on all of his passes. He's always going to have some of that wobble to his game. But that was a nice tight one. He dropped it in there over coverage and capped it off with a touchdown a couple of plays later.
And then he threw the pass to Robinson yesterday, Denard.
Yes.
He threw it in a spot where only his guy could catch it.
So. Kind of like a back shoulder type throw, where you catch the defensive back heading down the field a little bit. Anybody else for you this weekend, offense or defense, that stood out?
Josh Gobe.
Hit a 64-yarder yesterday.
56-yarder.
A little wind-aided. He had the wind at his back, but he cleared it with a few yards to spare. Scobie always looks great in the summer, though. Scobie is like the guy. He'll start the season 20 for 20 just about every year. He usually gets off to a pretty good start. And then I find he misses a couple in bunches later in the year.
Yeah, and then I'll throw another guy from the reserves. Gerald Rivers is just dominating third string tackles.
He really is. I mean,
he's trying to bump him up.
He's so evident that I'm out there the other day. I'm like, who is just manhandling people
Josh Wells out there?
He looks so big too. And then you're like, oh yeah, good luck. I mean, does he have a legit shot in your mind? What's the numbers game on the defensive line? Do you think?
Well, I mean, he has a chance because they do think he has some potential and they can help him. But are him and Ryan Davis fighting for one spot?
Right.
You know, do they? Because you look at if they keep 9 or 10 linemen, you figure Bryant, Branch, Clemens, Hood, Alualu, Avery Jones, Roy Miller, Derek Marks at 8. Okay, if they keep a 9th, that's between Gerald Rivers and Ryan Davis. And so, do they keep 10? Then maybe they keep both. You know, Ryan Davis, can he move inside, play a little bit on third down like he did last year? He's added some weight. So they do. I mean, every team says they have good depth at every position, but this team does have some decent competition for those last couple of defensive line spots.
You mentioned Telvin Smith before, kind of catching your eye. Is it just like a flash play here or there? You think he's been as consistently in a down in, down out what they're looking for?
Well, I'm sure he's having some hiccups, but it looks like the way he's moving forward a lot in the passing game. So there looks like they're trying him as a pass rusher, but also in some nickel stuff, they use him a lot on a third down yesterday.
I think they know he can cover, though. You know what I mean? And maybe they're finding out a little bit more if he can, at this level, get to the quarterback.
And that's what they said, like Gus said a couple weeks ago, is one of the things about camp is they're waiting to nail down what he does best right now. Okay, they have this athlete. He can cover. He can run. How else can they use him? So that will become more evident as the games go along. And then, you know, coaches say you got to put guys in uncomfortable positions. So that's what they're going to do with Telvin.
Colin wanted to get your opinion on Damian Copeland, who I just think, again, numbers game. We mentioned all those receivers. He's nothing he's done, though, that makes you say, wow, this guy really doesn't belong here, which I think is when everything gets settled, some of these guys end up on the practice squad. But the fact is, this year, more so than most recent years, I think the Jags are going to cut players that are immediately going to be of interest to other teams around the National Football League.
Copeland's an interesting guy because he could go through the entire summer, like you said, and have an A-plus summer,
yeah,
and it still might not be enough. So the decision where it comes down where it's going to hurt him is the fact that Sanders is not here, because they might have felt it's if Ace was here, okay, maybe we can have do we want 4 rookies on the top 6, top 7? Probably not. You're going to keep Lee, you're going to keep Robinson, you're probably going to keep Hearns if he stays healthy and keeps producing. There's just no room for Copeland. But if I'm him, there's a prime spot on that practice squad because this position could be in flux a little bit during the season.
Yeah, and I think he overall you know, he's been, at times he's made plays down the field. I think he's been pretty consistent catching the football. Overall, I think the entire team, now, you expect it in non-contact practices more than anything, but the football doesn't hit the ground all that much on when it shouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, the 11-on-11s, there's only been 1 or 2 drops, and you can make a case that the ball was a little bit behind. So I think they've been pretty clean in that respect, and you've seen the penalties go down each day of the 3. So it seems like, you know, the guys have come back ready to go.
We know Toby Gerhardt's going to be the lead ball carrier for this football team. Season's still 6 weeks, 5 weeks away, whatever. Who do you project to be the primary guy? If Toby Gerhardt were to miss 2 weeks, who is it? Jordan Todman, because they've got confidence in they've got the reliability factor, they know what they have, or is Storm Johnson better built to be that kind of guy?
Well, my guess would be they do a little bit of a committee. Let's say Gerhardt plays 50 snaps in a game. And if he goes misses a game, I bet they just would maybe give Todman an extra
30. Like a 30-20.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they probably have a lot more trust right now in Todman in terms of someone doing the work of a primary back. But it would be an opportunity for Storm Johnson.
Yeah, I think Denard Robinson's role doesn't change at all in that regard.
Correct.
Right? You know, he's going to have whatever package of plays that they've got for him. I know they keep trying to run him in the – in the base defense, and it's, again, it's tough to tell when the linemen don't have, you know, full contact going on. I just still look at him, and I wonder if he's got the strength to run kind of as an every down normal running back, and do you really need to manufacture more, creating ways to get him in space?
Yeah, I mean, as a running back right now, outside of the stretch, what do you like him as? You know, what kind of play can he do? I mean, during these preseason games, you're going to run him between the tackles just to make defenses, you know, make the tape look
right. Put it on tape.
But, like, you're right.
It seems like a waste.
Yeah, yeah, it does. And that's, like, that's the next stage for Denard is can he get the tough yards? We know he can maybe get around the corner. And his big thing is if he can catch it in the flat, that opens up him to more playing time. So, but like, there is still a lot of discovery with him left.
All right, coming up, we'll take a look at the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day, asking you your level of concern with Cecil Short's hamstring injury. They'll keep him sidelined at least for the next couple of weeks. Also, scheduled to catch up with Luke Jokel just in about 15 minutes from now, so stick around for that. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories is Wild West Guns and Gold. Whether it's revolvers, semi-autos, rifles, shotguns, you name it, Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the United States of America, guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns. Visit Guns4Jax, that's Guns, the number 4, JAX.com, or stop by Wild West Guns and Gold on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777, 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony, back with more Jaguars today, straight ahead on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, coming down the home stretch, it has flown by today because Ryan Positivity O'Halloran with us here in studio at Everbank Field. Let's see what we've got for tonight.
This is Two Cadillacs, right?
Yes, Two Black Cadillacs.
Come on, we all know that.
It's that Cadillac song.
It's that Cadillac song. It's my third favorite Carrie Underwood song. Right there. I have no idea. Tonight, you must, if you are attending the practice, have registered at Jaguars.com to attend the Bartram Trail practice. Registration is closed. And much out here at the stadium, they've got the ticket line. So if you have a ticket, you just basically breeze right through, and you can still get in. I don't believe that will be the case at Bartram Trail tonight.
There is not a dog ate my homework line tonight.
No. No. I'd like to try it, though. I may do that. I may tuck my media credential in my pocket and go up there and see if I can
talk my way in. Like a secret shopper?
Yeah. Just kind of see how they deal with me, if they send me on my way, if they try to make me a happy customer. And then when I get there, I'm going to walk back out to the front and say, my row has been removed. I was supposed to be in row 229, section 229, row S, and it's no longer there.
Like anyone doesn't know who Mike Dempsey is.
That's what I was going to say.
There are plenty.
Then they'll say, you're standing on the track.
They may. Is there a track? I haven't been to Bartram Trail.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, there is a track. Based on that email, there must be one because that's where players are going to sign autographs after.
Oh, are they signing it on the track?
Yeah.
I didn't get to that point.
That's what they said
in the email. You were going to say, Lauren?
Oh, Mike didn't get past parking.
I didn't get, no. Where am I going to park? All right. Lauren, you were saying what?
I was going to say, every time we walk out of training camp, everyone yells your name as we walk back in the stadium.
The one guy the other day said, Mike Dempsey. So I turned and waved hello. Hey, how you doing? You're a giant. That's what he told me.
You're a giant deal. That's what he meant.
No, I don't think
you're a celebrity.
So.
You're a superstar.
He means I've been eating too many candy bars lately, which is probably the case. Anyway, parking is free, and you have to show your confirmation registration to park on the campus as well. So get there early. They're suggesting 6 o'clock. Is that what we're going with tonight?
6 o'clock is when practice begins. It runs till 8.
I would suggest, getting there considerably earlier than that may not be possible for you if you're working till 5. That's why you shouldn't work till anything past noon.
Or have a real job.
Yes, right. Those who actually add something to society here, we appreciate you. And we're glad there are a lot more of you than there are of me.
I'm going to put myself in that category. Thank you.
Lauren has a real job, and she also is the producer of this fine broadcast. Today, we asked how concerned the Jaguar fan base is with Cecil Short's and another hamstring injury for him. He had one this summer, and you didn't worry about it really at that time. So, you know, let's be overly cautious. Let's keep him out for a while. And now a grade 2 strain, not the most significant, but not the least significant kind. Tony, got some folks. I found an interesting, a lot of polar opposites today reaction on Twitter.
No, there was. And before we get to some of that reaction, do want to let the people out there know, for the 999,000 or so of you who can't get out to practice tonight, I will be on
Fat
from
Tony Show
7 to 9, and we'll have reaction from out of practice.
Why is the Fat Tony Show not live at practice?
It just isn't, but we will have reaction to what's going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars out of Bartram Trails. They're taking a show on the road. Again, that's from 7 to 9 tonight. As far as the reaction to the question today about Cecil Shorts, and it has been on both ends, from Ben, we got very concerned. You can't have two rookies as the leading receivers. They need Cecil on the field. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Robbie, as long as Lee and Robinson develop, I'm not concerned at all. CS3 hasn't finished a year yet. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Doug, really concerned. This could be a season-long nagging injury, but hopefully not. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag holy big boards. Needed to add a Batman. From Joshua, we get, I'm pretty concerned. We all know how they can turn into a long-term injury. Hashtag Guardians of the Galaxy was great. Hashtag Jaguars today.
Did you see the one promo that said the best Marvel movie ever?
I have not seen a negative review on Guardians of the Galaxy yet.
Better than Howard the Duck, you're telling me.
I can tell you right now with full confidence it's better than Howard the Duck.
I have full confidence in that as well.
From Larry, we got has to be a big concern. Can't leave the receiving corp in the cold tub. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag shut up, Randy. Hashtag video boards rule. From Stevie at Irish Jaguar. Concerned, yes, but I'm not panicking. Me freaking out isn't going to change anything. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Viper Driver, glad it's now and not during the regular season, as timing with Henny is already there. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Tommy, not seeing him on the field has become the norm, that anything we can get from him will be a plus. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Tony, very.
Actually, Howard's like, I thought I was cynical.
I know. Very. I actually want the Jags to shop him around. Old regime will give him big money now. Hope this group waits.
Well, they would have given him 6 years, $45 million.
No question. That's right. Mike Thomas is like, hey, you're late. That's Where's right. your deal?
He's been as good as Jordy Nelson, right?
Mike Thomas, by the way, I don't know what they're running out in Houston. Mike Thomas said he's been waiting his whole career to play in this offense. Did you see that?
Something
of that effect? And the rest of you are going, Mike Thomas is still in the league? Wow.
So what's the percentage on that with Shorts? People were concerned?
I think more concerned, or more like, you know, there's a combination of concerned or here we go again, you know?
Yeah, the argument that I won't buy is, well, it's early. Well, it gets early late in the NFL. And guys who miss camp traditionally never get going.
It gets late early, I think.
Gets late early.
Yeah, you said
it's early late. God, screwed up yogiism.
No, you by screwing it up, you made it a yogiism, I believe.
But guys who don't play in the preseason generally take a while to get going.
Yes.
Or don't get going at all.
Yeah, that's what we talk about with A. Sanders. Not just a 4 week suspension. You probably another week or two before you can get back into the swing.
What's the over under on Ace catches this year? I say 15.
15. I mean, before he was even suspended for the first four games, I would probably put it around 30, 35.
Right.
You know, so,
I think 15 may be low right now. That could change.
I mean, he's not going to be there through training camp,
you're right.
Basically.
Right.
He's going to
first month,
spend
maybe,
a month where he can't be.
Maybe not active the next week or two.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the number is right around 15 to 20.
We got some great hashtags on Facebook today as well. Brian Saldino said, you have to be concerned. Cecil's demonstrated he cannot stay healthy. Puts doubts on his future with Jags now. Our best veteran receivers on the shelf. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag I got a shirt. Douglas Pelsey said, what concerns me is that clearly someone out there has voodoo dolls of all of our wide receivers. Maybe offer a T-shirt as bounty for whoever tracks him down. Hashtag Bountygate. Hashtag witch magic. Okay. Lucas Jewell said, minimal concern. We already know what to expect out of Cecil. It'll be good for other guys who are competing for a roster spot like Tannen Doss, Allen Hurns, and Mike Brown to get extra practice reps on film for the coaches. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag happy belated. That covers a lot of people. You, Lauren, Osh, and when's your birthday, O'Halloran?
January.
A happy belated birthday, man. It's been 7 months late.
Better late than never.
Yeah. Probably never from now on. And then Alan Lynn said, definitely concerned. Lewis missing many weeks last year with a minor hamstring strain. Can't have the same with the CS3. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag freaking hamstrings.
I know it.
They are. They can. That's one. Arian Foster today left Titans practice with a tight hamstring. He suffered.
You mean Texans?
Did I say Titans? Yeah, I did. Absolutely. Somebody's practice. They're like, wow, Mike Thomas is on the Texans. They must have traded him for Arian Foster.
Right.
Probably not.
I didn't even know Mike Thomas was in Houston.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think many would have.
Brent Martineau did. You remember that last year we were talking about, I don't know how he knew it, but he just knew off the top of his head that Mike Thomas was in Houston.
I searched this story, and it's like, even if a guy gives me a quote like that, it's like, my choice is, do I run it and make him look like a fool, or do I write it and it makes me look like a fool for believing what he's saying?
Right. Well, does it mean you believe, or does it mean, like you said, when you're just reporting the numbers? The numbers are the numbers, the quotes are the quotes, right?
Yeah, I get it.
It's not advocacy, I don't think, unless you spin the story to make it all about how you think Mike Thomas is going to have a breakout season as a
pass
catcher.
Well, you put the quote, you got the quotations, and right after that you just have two letters. Ha. I don't think you need to do anything.
What I've actually done sometimes is run an outlandish quote, and then my next paragraph I'll go, no, really, he said that.
No, he did. Yeah, he absolutely said that. I know it's hard for me to believe as well. We're hoping we catch up with Luke Jokel here in the next few minutes he's wrapping up his workout. If not, I think we're going to get an opportunity shortly after the show to do that. We'll bring you that conversation coming up tomorrow. Outside of just the fact that we think they'll do a little bit more 11-on-11s, anything special you think tonight, or just kind of another practice, just a different cool venue and locale for the fans to check it out?
I think that's what it's going to be. It's still early in camp. They're not going to deviate from their routine or script that much. But, I mean, the fact that what is going to be a little more interesting is they're going to have to contain all the action in the one field. So if you have a seat there, you're going to see a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. And you get the three fields with the Jags. Things get spread out a little bit. Although, as long as you've got a vantage point on wherever the guys with the red jerseys are, that's generally what everybody's watching.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm going to sit upstairs. I want to be able to look down, which would be cool, instead of watching on the sideline and not seeing a lot.
You don't want to be a man of the people on the sideline?
No, I'll be signing autographs beforehand, not after.
Well, yeah, okay. So, out by the road as you pull in, what's the name of that road right there? It was in my email a minute ago. Something Pine Parkway, I think is Longleaf Pine Parkway. Look for Ryan O'Halloran somewhere in the intersection tonight. that'll do it for us today. One of those respondents or more, we will get in contact with you. We'll hook you up with a Jaguars Today t-shirt. Love to see all those folks wearing them out there at practice. Wear them to practice this week if you're coming out. Tony and I will be broadcasting live. I guess Wednesday, Thursday, Friday we'll be out.
Yes, we will.
Right out by the field here by the stadium at the Florida Blue practice field. So stop by, check us out, say hello. Met a lot of you folks the other day. Enjoyed doing that. We got Osh in tomorrow. I don't think we'll get Jokel in the next couple of minutes, so I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get out of here on time and turn things over on the other side to the boys of XL Primetime coming up. Joe C., Hacker, and T-Wig. Final thought for you, O'Halloran, as we depart?
The games can't come soon enough.
There you go.
And the second thought would be, if I'm a fan tonight, yeah, I want to watch the quarterbacks, but I would really pay attention to offensive line, defensive line, because that gets spirited. It's great to watch.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Hopefully tonight the anticipation is there. Jag fans, have been a good weekend for you, opening of training camp, and, of course, the concert with the soccer game, the unveiling of the video boards. I'm sure you'll hear a lot more about that throughout the course of the afternoon here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold. They bring you the show every Monday. For Ryan O'Halloran, for Fat Tony, for Joe Fortunato, and for Lauren Brooks, we'll be checking in, I think, with Luke Jokel tomorrow on the program when John Osher joins us. So coming up next, XL Primetime right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.